Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here in Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Dun, dun, dun,
today.
Dun.
Well, first of all,
we're still in 2020. We are still here, folks. Put on your seatbelts. It's the first podcast of 2021, but
2020 part two.
2020 part two. Brooke and I have been talking about how, and I'm sure you know about the events unfolding that we're about to discuss. But 2020 claims this energy. We don't want to bring it into 2021. We don't know her. It's been 7 days, 8 days. And, you know, the events that have unfolded in the first 7 days of this year have been an accumulation of the past 4 years. So 2021 has no claim or responsibility to these actions. Hopefully there will be resolution soon.
But 2021 really started off and just said, y'all thought that shit storm was over. No, you know what's fucking crazy is the Mars and Aries thing that I sent you. And I was like, y'all really thought Mars was going to exit Aries and not blow up. Y'all really thought.
We should have known. We should have known, honestly. Should have seen that coming.
We should have, but you know what? That's why Instagram astrologers exist, because they keep up on that shit.
And yes, they do.
Don't have the fucking time. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah. I just... 2021 really said, you guys aren't done living through major historical events every other week. Let's continue this.
Yeah, like, let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it going. But just what the fuck? Like, it's been so long since we had a good little, like,
political
rant. Yes, like,
it has. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, towards the end of 2020, I think we were trying, like, things, not that they were settling down by any means, but, like, we had been ranting all summer, like, that was definitely needed to happen because shit was hitting the fan. And we were trying to, like, talk a little bit less about it, but you know what? Like, this stuff is current. It is, fucking up our lives. And, it's back. It's here. So, we hope all of the listeners have had an okay start to the year, but obviously... we're now all back on this, you know, we're all back experiencing more trauma again. Here we are, sharing the same boat.
We will die on this hill.
Cruising. Yep. One day. You know what's going to be really fun is when we go a whole year. What if we ever... go a whole year without political rants because we won't need to. Do you think that'll ever happen?
No. I can't see
That's
it.
That's okay.
I can't see it not being a thing because I'm just like, now that we are halfway to 30, we fully understand the implications of having a tyrant run the United States. We're always going to be interested in what's going on in the White House.
Yes, I'm very interested to know because, yeah, you're right. Like, we know what's happening, and I have learned how the government runs this past year, and I'm very well vested in sharing my voice and my opinions. And trying to make the country a better place for everybody. And I don't think I can ever ignore it again, which is a good and stressful thing. I mean, it's good. I think we should all be informed and educated on the things that are going to affect us for the rest of our lives. And there are things that we do now that are going to affect generations to come. And we can't just let things happen anymore. And we have to get involved, because the old white dudes at the top, they gotta go. Like, it's time to go. What? Speaking of, if we want to start with a good positive note, Mitch McConnell lost his fucking job. Okay, well, he didn't lose his
ass. Oh, crusty ass, dirty ass, smelly ass.
Okay, so he didn't lose his job, but he's no longer the majority leader. Thank fucking God. Oh my God.
It's so fucking old. Oh my God.
I fucking hate him so much. God damn it. I saw so many videos that were like, you know, this is going to put me on a government watch list to even make this video. But somebody has got to take one for the team and take out Mitch McConnell. Like, you'll be the people's hero.
Speaking of Mitch McConnell, show of hands to, you know, if you're, that doesn't make any fucking sense. How many people listening, I wonder, have gotten their stimulus check?
Oh, yeah, you're right. And we're recording on January 8th. I did receive mine. But you probably, the
same day, yeah.
You know people who still don't have it.
Steven hasn't gotten it. A lot what of the people hell? Still haven't gotten it. And TurboTax, like, fucked up some stuff. You know what, though? This year, something is apparently supposed to happen this year with the currency. Like, something huge. I don't know if it's supposed to be Bitcoin related or, like, what. But, like, the Astro Twins have been, and Eliza Kelly, like, everybody, all of these, like, really big astrologers in the spiritual community have been saying for, like, a full year, like, there's going to be this big shift in the way that we handle money and the way that currency is handled. And I'm just like, what do you mean? Are we going to barter for fruit?
I would like to put a prediction on that. I didn't know that the Astro Twins or astrologers have been predicting that, but just living through this pandemic, we have had a major, major coin shortage.
Coin shortage?
What is that?
Is that a major coin shortage in this bitch?
Who is that guy? Who is that cartoon guy who has a gun? And he goes and shoots rabbits.
Oh,
what's his name? I sounded like him just now.
You did. I don't remember who it was.
It's a rabbit season. I don't even know. So like I, and you know, there's a lot of people who have been fearing, you know, not us getting rid of change, like actual coin change. And the thing is like, I'm very open. I don't know enough about this topic. I'm very open to listening to both sides as to why it could be bad that we don't have coins. The thing is that we're just moving to a card, you know, having no cash, having no hard bills, and going to your debit cards and your credit cards. But as somebody who is not very educated on this specific topic, from my perspective, and I need to do my own research, but let me know how you feel about this, because from my perspective, first of all, how long have we all really been using our debit cards and not using cash? Like, I literally almost never have cash. And I get that people are like, well, if we never have cash, like, we just have our card, and your card isn't real money. Well, guess what? Money isn't real money. Okay, a $20 bill and a $5 bill is paper.
Yep.
Like, it's all the same. Your debit card is the same concept as money. You could be given a gift card with $10 on it, and you could be given a plastic gift card with $100 on it. They're both plastic gift cards. Like, to me, it's the same concept. I just don't have to carry around dirty ass money that weighs a shit ton.
Yeah.
So personally, I don't see, and you have your microchip
in your card. So it helps for people to not steal your money. If you lose your debit card, if you lose your cash, see ya. Bye-bye, honey. You're never getting that back. But you lose your debit card and you can cancel it on your account and save your money and like get a new one. So to me, as someone not educated on this topic, I don't see the harm in it, but I know that there are a lot of people opposed to the cashless system. I just don't know enough about it, but that's what I would predict is, because if you can think, have you gone anywhere during the pandemic where they don't accept cash? Like, have you gone to pick up food or something and they don't accept cash? Because
literally like every Target, every Kroger here, it's like, you can't use cash at the self-checkout. Right.
Yeah, and there's two reasons. One of them is they don't have change to give you because of the coin shortage. Oh my God, can I ask?
Coin shortage.
Good. What kind of New York accent is coming out of this?
Who are you?
Who am I? So they don't have the change to give us. Okay, that makes sense. And also, they're trying to protect their employees from touching dirty money that could have the virus on it. That makes sense to me too. So I could see this as a transition into a cashless society.
I think I read something like last year, something to do with money laundering. It was like they wanted to convert to a cashless society to prevent money laundering. I don't know. Okay. Have you ever watched Ozark? It's all about money laundering.
I watched like the first episode.
Oh my God, that show is
I need to rewatch it.
That show is so good. Also, if anybody can hear Steven laughing in the background, please give him a break. It's his birthday, and
birthday.
He's cracking up right now, like talking with his friends on his game, and I'm trying to talk over him so nobody can hear him. But if you hear him, he's
enjoying himself.
He's having fun. Anyways. It's a really good freaking show. I didn't want to give it a chance because I'm the kind of person that's like, if it's not romantic, it's not witchy. I don't want to watch anything without drugs, but like, it's a really fucking good show. It's not really about drugs, but it's a good fucking show.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some drugs in it. Anyways. I don't know what he is talking about. I never like, dude, okay, does anybody else like listen to
what was that
him does anybody oh, else really? Listen to their fucking like boyfriend play video games, and it's just like they're like, hold on, I'm gonna get my glasses for some ASMR, pretend this is like a video game controller, or like, okay dude, I got the H1 on the N1, the Eurodynamic. Oh, coming in. Kill. Oh, did you see how many hits I got? Like, what?
Dude, my brother does that exact same thing. God. Playing video games. And I can hear him. And I'm like, what are you playing down there? Like, are you taking over the world? Or are you just like riding off into the sunset in your cool ass car that you stole from somebody? I don't know what you're doing, but you sound like you're having a great time.
Like, I'm glad you can enjoy yourself. But like, honestly, you know the TikTok thing that's like, show how you know your boyfriend won't cheat on you without showing how you know your boyfriend. Literally, that's it.
Yes.
That or like watching him play with his fucking fishing lures. Because he'll hold them up and be like, look at the ombre coloring on this one, babe. I could catch so many smallmouth bass with this.
Oh, my God.
Why am I roasting him on his birthday?
Because it's his birthday and you love him.
That's true.
That's great. That's amazing.
Oh, shit. Okay, so this is just breaking news, which by the time everybody hears this, it'll be old, whatever. Sure. 2 hours ago, Donald Trump's Twitter account got deleted forever. Fuck you.
Praise Jesus. Praise the universe. Also, his Instagram was permanently deleted as well today, forever.
He had an Instagram?
Apparently. I didn't know that either. His Facebook, I think his Facebook, I haven't heard if his Facebook was permanently deleted, but Facebook was on the list when he got like that 12-hour ban. He did have a ban on Facebook, but I don't know if it's coming back or not, especially since all these other big platforms are finally deleting him.
I had no idea he had an Instagram. How did I not know that?
There's probably nothing good on it. Anyway. Oh, well, we know there was nothing good on it, but.
What the fuck? But the reason that they deleted his Twitter account is because they do believe that he incited violence. Like, he was riling
people up. Which he did.
He did. He was giving them, like, the stand back and stand by, okay.
He gave them, it really wasn't a dog whistle because it was very obvious to everyone. So it was just a whistle.
Yep.
It was just a political whistle, a call to action to use violence. And when he had the chance, when this was all happening, first of all, he said, "I'll be right there with you, leading the way." And then he ran and hid home in the White House and let all these stupid fuckers go and, you know, do the shit. He did. He literally told them, "I'll be right there with you." And they're like, "Yeah, yeah, let's go." And so they're marching. He's like, "Bye, dipping." And not only did he dip, he went to the White House and they had a watch party where they had it going on TV. And all of him and his kids and his wife were in the tent just, "Look at all my supporters. This is amazing." They had a watch party to watch this whole thing go down. Okay. Please don't. That is some like Hunger Games shit. Okay. That is some Hunger Games shit. And then when he had the chance, Joe Biden came out and asked, you know, put out a message, which, you know, I don't know what else he could have done. It, not that anybody there was going to listen to Joe Biden, but like, I'm so glad he said something. But like, he said something before the actual president, of course, because these are his people. And when he comes out, he says, "Now I know the election was still a fraud." So the first thing that came out of his mouth confirmed the reason why they were all there. So they probably didn't listen to any other word that he said. But he was like, "Please go home. We love you. You're special." Are you fucking kidding me?
It was the same thing as if, like, the cops were called about a fight, like a domestic fight. Mm-hmm. And, like, but, like, someone who was directly involved in the fight called the cops, but then still was the cops show up and they're just like, "It's fine. Like, just leave." Like, this is a big, like, that wasn't even, like, a good analogy. I don't know what I'm trying
to say. No, I know what you're saying. It's almost like, like, when, if you're in a hostage situation, like, they're just trying, "Please come down." Like, they're just trying to get the person, like, they're trying to be nice to, like, and, like, baby somebody to stopping what they're doing because they're talking to babies.
Kind of. Like, I'm thinking more like, like, I don't know. It was definitely like, it was an admission of guilt, but it was also like a slap in the face because he was like,
"Oh, sure.
Stop what you're doing. I know you have every right to be mad. Like, you've got to, like, it was taken from us." But it was like a bully, like a kid at school bullying someone. And then the kid's dad comes in and is like, "Yeah, it was bad what he did, but like, he was mad. So what are you going to do?" Like,
honestly, we literally might as well put Donald Trump's face right next to the word narcissist in the dictionary. I mean, this was just such a power grab and an ego fill. And all of this happened to fill his ego. That's the reason why he spreads this stuff. And I mean, these people showed up with illegal weapons, zip ties, like military grade zip ties. They were planning on taking hostages and they built a noose and hung a noose outside of the Capitol. They took down American flags on the Capitol, replaced them with Trump flags. And excuse me, aren't you supposed to be Blue Lives Matter? You fucked up the police. I thought you were supporters of the police. You know, it's just like, it was insane. I was working And I heard something on the news, turned it on. I could not turn it off the rest of the day because I was just mind blown. Honestly, I wasn't mind blown. Like, we could all see this happening. I've watched a couple of videos from people in other countries. And there's one girl who I follow on social media. She's German, born and raised, still lives in Germany. She's a history major and she specializes in American history. And she was like, you know, American politics are like, we just didn't see this coming. We didn't see this happening. That is a bullshit lie. And she was like, the whole world saw this coming. We all saw this coming. And so did you, because words become actions, words become thoughts, become actions. You 4 years, words have been said, have been creating thoughts, have now sparked action. This is not surprising at all. And what infuriates me, like we could all see this happening and it's detrimental. Honestly, I personally think that we have a shroud of democracy. Like, the world doesn't think we actually have a democracy, that we just appear. We just like to, you know, talk the talk but not walk the walk, which is true. And other countries came out and made statements that were like, the United States is honestly just experiencing karma right now. They are experiencing the conflict that they create in other countries when we step into other countries and we're like, we're going to help you build a democracy. But really, we just fuck shit up and then like leave. That's what we experienced. We just experienced the same shit we do to other countries. Like, we just, karma got handed to the United States.
And our karmic debt, man.
Yes, that was some serious karmic debt. And what just infuriates me so much is the comparison of how BLM protesters were treated compared to this. That really, really fucking irks one in me. Like, I almost don't have words.
This was so aggressive. This was like, they were literally running up in the White House, attacking federal officials and federal guards.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like little to, people were escorted out kindly and like people were smiling as they were
getting their hands held down the stairs.
Literally getting their hands held. Like, why didn't you just kiss them on the mouth while you were at it? Like,
seriously. And police officers were caught on camera letting people in. Just opening up the gates, letting it happen. And of course, Donald Trump blocked the National Guard from coming in because those are his people. He didn't want to bring in the National Guard. He wanted them to fuck shit up for him because he doesn't give a shit about them. The fucking hilarious thing is he actually doesn't give a shit about any of those people. He just gives a shit about himself. They're just doing his bidding. Like,
yeah, he didn't care.
He's a cult leader. He doesn't care a shit.
Anybody that works in the White House, he doesn't give a shit about.
He doesn't care that there's blood on his hands. Which, oh man, don't even get me started on the fucking girl that got shot by a police officer for trying to break in.
Oh, Ashley Babbitt. Her name's something Babbitt.
Yeah, and the conservatives are trying to hashtag say her name. Fuck no. No. That infuriates me so much. This whole thing infuriates me so much. I'm embarrassed to be here. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be here.
Like, you can't use that. That's not...
No.
Say her name. Say their name.
That's disrespectful.
It didn't originate for people who were killed
for being treasonous.
Yeah.
Committing white supremacists.
It's not where that came from. Came from people literally being sat on by police officers and wrongfully murdered.
Yeah. Like, and then there was while Trump was having his rally somewhere in the nearby area, apparently there's a group called Moms for America or something like that. And they're essentially women for Trump. It's a women for Trump group. You could also call them women for misogyny, really. Like, fucking stupid. And she quoted Hitler in her speech and said flat out, you know, Hitler got one thing right, though. And then quoted something he did or said. Are you fucking kidding me? Hitler, is this real life? Is this real life?
Hitler could say the sky is blue and I'd still disagree.
Yes. Yes. Like, I don't give a shit if he gave his grandpa knitted socks for Christmas. I'm not quoting him in my goddamn speech. Like,
all of the
what the fuck? I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised, though, because these people are neo-Nazis, you know, I mean, KKK Klans members, white supremacists. So, like, should we be shocked that that came out of someone's mouth? No, but, like, I am. I'm fucking shocked.
No, we have every right to be shocked because it's fucking this. You don't think that this kind of stuff's going to come out in the open. And,
right.
You know, 2020, 2021, you're like, people know better than to be openly fucking fascist and racist and sexist, yeah, and whatever the, yeah, fuck, but they know better. They just don't,
well, care. The thing is that these people have been quiet for so long, but this president made them feel like they could be open with that.
Yeah.
We're seeing it. And not only that, but Fox News is trying to spread rumors, like, go figure, that the people who did this weren't actually Trump supporters, that it was Antifa and BLM that dressed up as Trump supporters and did this. Fucking, I'm gonna punch someone in the fucking throat. Are you fucking serious? Because you know how many people just listen to Fox News and literally just take that for fucking Bible? Like, God damn, it makes me so angry. Ugh. Jesus Christ. This is the last time this happened was in 18 something by the British. Like, my God. God damn it. This is going to be in a fucking futuristic National Treasure movie.
I feel like we're living through the Hunger Games, the last Hunger Games movie, where the capital, yeah, like, burns to the fucking ground, like.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Goddamn. Like, this is, I tried to, when big stuff like this happens, like, I try to journal on those days, because, like, I think it would just be very interesting to look back when, like, you know, some youngster, when we're old ladies, it's like, I'm doing a quiz on the year 2020 and 2021. What was the date that the white supremacists stormed the Capitol? Well, sweetie, it was January 6th, 2021. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I have this journal entry.
I mean, seriously, our generation has grown up through, the first thing we ever experienced was 9/11. We were 5 and 6 years old. You and, yep, I, no, we, you and I were 6.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were like from the ages like 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember it. You don't remember it. But it's nonstop been turmoil. We lived through the first election, including a black man running for president who won. Mm-hmm. We lived through the first woman running for president who lost.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention all of the, you know, what's his butt? I can't remember his damn name. What the hell was the guy's name? Osama bin Laden.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
We lived through so much shit. Not to mention all the stuff that's gone on in the media with celebrities and shit. Like, right. God, you remember when fucking, remember, this has nothing to do with politics. Remember when Madonna's titty popped out?
Can we just go back to those times?
No, not Madonna. It wasn't Madonna. It was Janet Jackson.
Oh, you're right.
I said Madonna's titty.
Madonna.
Madonna's titties. But like,
you know, the housing market crisis, the stock market crisis, like millennials growing up and being told, yeah, just go to college, put yourself in 100K of debt. You'll for sure get a job making more than 15 bucks an hour. But you're not going to be able to have a fucking place to live or feed yourself or save any goddamn money. And you're going to have to deal with all this trauma on repeat forever.
Yeah. And and you will not only rack up $100,000 of debt, you can pay it off for 20 years. And by the time you pay it off, you won't actually have paid it off because you'll actually owe triple.
In 20 years, you're going to owe 300K. Even if you make every single payment.
Congrats!
Fucking bitches. I mean, I think we're also the first generation. There's definitely millennials that are still like pro-capitalist, but I like to think that our listeners, like if you've listened to us this long and you like us, that you're anti-capitalists. I don't know. Like, I mean, at least you don't like the system. And we got big fucking problems. And I personally am very anti-capitalist. My family members know not to fucking bring that shit up at the dinner table because I will fucking debate. I don't give a shit how nice of a dinner we were having. I will fucking debate. You know, like like you said, we spent 100K on degrees. Now we're going to spend fucking 10K a year on therapy for all the shit we're going through. And we just want to fucking be happy and live normal ass lives. Like there is no American dream. Like I think we're just the first generation because like our parents' generation definitely still had this idea of like capitalism is definitely the best thing. That's why we're the best. And they just kept telling us we're the best, but there was actually no proof to back that up. And I just feel like we see through the fucking shit. We've been through so much shit that we see through the fucking shit. But we're still in the shit. So much shit.
I'm going to name this episode, The American Dream Does Not Exist.
Yes. Yes. Like, and I think, you know, and also I think, and I don't know if this is just me, but I am so happy when I see a lot of our friends like starting businesses because like they want to start their own American dream. And I just like growing up, I was not taught like, if you want to start a business, you can. I was taught you're going to go to college and you want to find the best 9-to-5 job you can and work for somebody else, which not that there's anything wrong. If there's nothing wrong with that, if you find something, not even like, I don't even think that you have to do something that you love necessarily. Like if you have a job that is, you know, you can manage your stress levels, you have work-life balance, and if it gives you enough money and time off for you to travel and do the things you want, and that makes you happy, then I think that's a good job. But for some people, and listeners of this podcast know that I'm tired of my corporate job. I don't like being in the corporate rat run, and I want out. But like, I wasn't taught that I could do that. Like, I was taught you're going to have to go work for somebody else. And we're just all kind of breaking these cyclical cycles that generations and generations have just accepted. Like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And then they, you know, you do it. But like, we're like, no, I don't like that. So I ain't going to do it.
I just thinking about it. I ain't going to do it. I did it. That's pretty much fucking how it feels.
Speaking of all of the things going on right now, do we want to talk about that Instagram post that you sent me about hexing the patriarchy and how you can do that?
Oh my god,
I think that would be perfect.
We've never talked about
hexing the and the patriarchy is the best place to start.
I like that because it's not it's not like one person. You're not like actually trying to hurt one person. You're trying to bring down the construct of something. So
right. And it's right, exactly. You know, we do not and won't talk about hurting people ever. And whether or not you believe in doing that or not, that's totally up to you. That is fine. But I think
the fact that you just said that is fine.
Hey,
you want to hurt other people.
I mean, to each their own. I'm not getting into anybody's business. We all believe different things about hexing and the power of three and karma. Like, we all have different thoughts on that.
We're not on this podcast to judge.
Right. We all have different reasons. But, like, when you're trying to bring down a toxic system, what better place to start than trying to bring them the fuck down? Let me pull. Okay. Oh, here it is. Okay. So, let's see here. The first words, English. What is it called? When you put disclaimer, that's what it is. The first disclaimer that from this post from occult.ish, their Instagram page, which is where this post is from, is to please use protection. There are tons of rituals and practices on this page. If you need ideas or want to know how to be protected, you can look at some of their older posts. You can do your own research, but stay safe. Don't forget to ground yourself and remember that self-care is love. And self-care also comes in the form of taking down the patriarchy too.
But it looks like you don't need that many things, honestly. No. And the only thing I think on here that a lot of people might not have is seawater. And if you don't have seawater, I would say, honestly, just some water with sea salt. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, personally, when I was reading this, and maybe I just don't know a lot about hexing, but to me, this just kind of seemed like a justice spell in a way.
That's what I thought too.
You know?
And I felt like it was kind of toned down a little bit because of the fact that the spell is not pointed at a person. It's not pointed at a group of people. It's not like the patriarchy is a group of board members, you know. It's a whole social construct that everybody's been following for years, and it's the construct that, you know, women shouldn't be allowed to do this or that, or just it's where matters of abortion and gay marriage and
everybody's rights except for men's.
Yeah, everybody's rights except for men's. Hence patriarchy. Right. Not the matriarchy. It should be the matriarchy. It shouldn't even be an archy.
No, there should not be any archies. Stupid archies. But yeah, so I do kind of think this is more of just like bringing a social construct to justice to end kind of a spell. I don't know, that's definitely what I got when I read it, but it's very simple. I mean, at least, you know, on the very first, there's a couple of different things that you could do. Seawater, red yarn, a candle, a pen, if you have a dagger or an athame, some paper, and you can use an obsidian stone. You can put the obsidian stone in the seawater or the salt water. This is interesting. Okay, so you can use sigils, and to me, this is total, I don't know. To me, this is just a spell. But the step one is to define your target. So in this case, it is the white supremacist asshats that are threatening democracy. Step two is to place your obsidian stone inside the cup of seawater. Step three is to use a sigil to invoke the warrior goddess, or whoever you are working with, or your intentions, you know, make a sigil of what your intentions are for this and wrap the yarn around the paper 6 times. Burn the paper on the candle. You can pierce it with your dagger and, you know, hold it over. But if you don't have that, you can just hold it over your candle flame. They do have some words, something that you can chant and just put your intentions into to say while you're burning your piece of paper. And then put out the burning piece of paper in the cup with your obsidian stone in the water to purify the hex or the spell. And then it says you're done. But I really like the last page of this this Instagram, because it says, you know, it doesn't stop here. Like, being a witch means standing in solidarity with those who are being persecuted, like we once were. And magic may be awesome, but we must continue to fight the systems of oppression in our everyday lives. And make sure to keep yourself educated, do other things like sign petitions, vote, protest, donate, speak about injustice, support Black lives, reject all forms of bigotry, racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, and don't be silent when it comes to white supremacy, and support trans lives, and just to speak up. And I think that's a very key, key aspect of being a witch, is just standing up for the people who are oppressed and showing up.
I agree. I think that's not something that you see on a ton of Instagram accounts. And I know something else was bugging me recently is, like, there have been a lot of people making fun of, like, the Instagram accounts that push out the infographics whenever something huge happens. I personally think that the infographics are a very good way for people to learn a lot about a situation in bite-sized pieces, because not
in 20 seconds.
We live in an age where every other person has fucking ADHD, and it is not easy to go and find
read this giant ass paragraph.
Right. Or some people just don't know what sources to go to. Like, they don't know, should I go to CNN? Should I go to Fox News? No. But, like, not everybody knows that. And I just don't understand why people want to make fun of infographics. I think what they're making fun of is, like, the fact that some of the infographics are designed to fit into
the aesthetic of their account.
The aesthetic. And I'm just like, if that bugs you, like, it's the words.
That's not the point. Not the point. And also, I see where maybe that might, I can understand why someone might be like, you're focusing on how your account looks and not the thing that you're talking about. But I have to disagree, because in today's day and age, we like aesthetics. Like, that's just something that is part of what draws us into social media, is aesthetics. And you follow accounts when you like their aesthetic. And even though, sure, it's going to fit in with the aesthetic of their page, but that means that the people who follow them are going to read it. It's going to reach more people. Because are you going to read, if something, like, it's just more people, it will reach more people when it, like, fits someone's aesthetic. And, like, that's just kind of the truth of the matter.
Not to mention, I feel like if a person makes an infographic and it fits in with whatever theme they've got going on their page, it makes it look like whatever they talk about on a daily basis naturally fits in with these big, important messages about the protests or the insurrection or whatever is going on. Like, I mean, if you want to make your fucking infographic with bubble letters, do what you, whatever, put the information on there and call it a fucking day, and don't let anybody try to judge you for making something good.
Because, I mean, and if they're so concerned with the person's intention, I don't think anybody making those infographics has anything but a good intention. You know? So I think it's nitpicking. I can see where people who would complain about something like that, why, but I just think like, I think that is surpassing. We need to get back to the message. And that person who posted, who created that infographic, they created that, by the way, like they made that. They put time into that. So they care about what they're posting about. They care about whatever it is. And we need to spread that. We need to share it, not just fucking criticize it and put it down, because that's not helping the message at all.
Not to mention, aesthetics get attention. Our generation has figured that out, that if something looks good, it garners more attention. So why wouldn't you want to make a very important message look good and like eye-popping? Like, I don't know. I don't even know how we got this. I just wanted to point that out. Like, for people who, if you're listening to this and you're just like, oh, like everybody thinks that they're such an internet warrior with their little infographics, like infographics are very important, and they've helped me and they've helped other people.
Oh, 100%. I've learned so much because it condenses information to the key important points. And a lot of us in today's society are very visual. Like, we're on social media all the time. And we're scrolling, we're seeing new images literally every like 0.5 seconds. TikTok is so popular because you can watch a new video every 30 seconds. Like, infographics are fucking perfect.
One of the accounts that I know you like, that I definitely like, is the So You Want to Talk About.
Oh, I really like that account. I have learned so much from that account. And that account posts nothing but infographics. That's their whole account. And I've learned so much from it. Yeah, I really recommend, if anybody wants to, I mean, they talk about just all the important things happening right now. And I've learned a lot about things that I didn't even know were happening because of that account. So it's called So You Want to Talk About. Go check that out. I reposted something that they shared recently. And you know what? It looks good, but also they post very intellectual questions and problems and answers, and infographics fucking work, so hop off my ass.
Yeah, hop off the balls, okay? They work. They get the message across. Not everybody has the focus of a fucking, I don't know, some kind of wild animal that can watch prey for a really long time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody can stay super focused. God.
Yeah.
Speaking of focus, my stomach feels so weird right now. Today was the first day that I took Zoloft.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got home from, being out today, like, Steven and I kind of, like, made the connection. I always get really, really depressed when I go out somewhere and then I have to come back home. And it's not just because I don't want to live here. It's because, like, when I am home on the weekends or, like, on a day that I'm off, I'm just like, I've got to be doing something. Like, I should be coming up with topics for the podcast, or I should be I should be paying my bills. I should be organizing something. I should be like making a list of books to read. Like, I can't, but then when I'm not in the house, like, I can function
and not feel like you're doing something.
Yeah. And like Steven, he was like, I don't know, I've just always like kind of noticed like you get really upset and anxious whenever you like get ready. And I'm like, I don't think that's the right connection to make here. I think the thing is, I'm happy when I'm out of the house, but when I'm here, I'm anxious as fuck and I don't want to get out of the house and I get car stuck, which is what Taylor and I like to refer to as the moment where you get home and you just like sit in your car.
You sit in your car and you're like, I don't want to go in though.
Yep. You just sit there. You sit there for... I've sat in my car for 3 hours outside of my house just listening to music, chilling.
Yeah, I've done that before. Yeah. I think it's like this feeling. I don't feel it that much anymore, but I definitely have before. And it's almost like this, we're programmed to always be able to calculate our worth and our productivity, and that our worth is connected to our productivity. And it's really hard to escape. It's really hard to escape that, because that has been ingrained in us, in our society. And even though you know that your worth is not connected to your productivity, like, it's still hard to escape those thoughts. And like, anxiety and depression is intrusive. It just does things and makes you feel things like when you don't want to, like, if you, you know, it's intrusive. And then you end up, you know, feeling depressed when you come home. And fucking God damn it. Can we stop? Can we not program people like that anymore? That has fucked people up.
I think
always feeling the need to, like, but like, it's understandable. Like, we've been taught that ever since birth. Fuck, we were like out of the womb for 5 seconds. And it was like, you better be productive.
Not to mention that now it's like everywhere you look, there's like somebody trying to sell you something on ways to be more productive and the 4 hour work week, get the most done, like get a whole 80 hour work week done in four, like, you know, that big ass book, you know what I'm talking about before. And like, here's a list.
It is toxic.
Here's a listicle of all the different ways that you can maximize your time while having a house full of 5 kids during a pandemic and blah, 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 blah. And even though we know all of that stuff is like garbage, doesn't change the fact that most of the time,
it still affects you.
Yeah, most of the time before we even record this, just previously, I'm just sitting on the couch crying because I feel like shit. I don't know where that voice came from. I really don't fucking know where the voice came from. It's just so much easier for us to sit down on like a weekday and record.
It when is.
We've been doing something.
Because, God damn it. Fucking capitalism. I'm so angry. Fucking capitalism. It's just like this. And I just have like this desire to just exist. I just want to exist, but I fucking can't, because I'll sit there. I'm like, yay, I'm existing. But God damn it, you're not being productive. Pop. Get rid of that thought of existing. Fuck you. You're not being productive. You're a fucking piece of shit. You are not producing anything for society, even though you just got done doing something. Even if you didn't get done doing something productive, even if you've done nothing all day long, literally nothing, like, that's okay, but we can't fucking relax. God damn it.
You know why we can't relax? Because of the American dream. The American dream, like, is not fucking real.
Okay, so for our listeners around the world, I would love to know, like, these things that we talk about with capitalism and the American dream, and just, I mean, everybody knows Americans are like, go, go, go. We got to work, 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 work. Like, is the rest of the world like that? Is there anywhere we can go?
Spain.
Where we can just exist? Like, Spain. Sure, I want to, I'm down for Spain. Like, I'm totally down for contributing to society, but I fully believe that we were meant to live much simpler lives where we, you know, we contribute, but like, we get to exist and live and just be as we are. And do I necessarily, like, does that necessarily mean we have to go back to trading cattle and like beef jerky? I don't know, but like,
you just said beef jerky.
But I just there's like this longing for just like something a little simpler, where we're just not so focused on greed and wealth and money and just wanting to share wealth so everybody can be happy and comfortable and just exist comfortably. Like, God damn it, that's all I fucking want, is to change everything. It's not that much to ask.
I feel like you're you are going through, which means if you're going through it, I'm probably about to fucking go through it.
You're due.
You're like a big period of like spiritual awakening, where because you're thinking like your brain right now is operating on like there's got to be more than this. I know there's more than this. There's more than my shitty job. There's more than, you know, that's like every single podcast
word that comes out of my mouth.
Yes, literally, it's just it's at the forefront. Like it's
I can't not think about it.
Yeah, you're
every day.
Through some, you got to be looking at your pattern today. What the fuck's that pattern?
What the fuck's on my pattern? I like shoot off the Zoom. Okay, my pattern today.
You just disappeared off the screen with the fucking.
You okay, have- your pattern posted January 8th for 2021. Often you approach your career in an incredibly intense and willful way. It may not be how friends perceive you or how you understand yourself, but there's a style to the way you operate in the world. Ideally, you are able to direct your strong passions and incredible energy into doing meaningful work. You intend to move through the world in intense, powerful, and dramatic ways. Whether you mean to or not, you may elicit powerful emotions and reactions in the people that you work and socialize with. Whether you're interested in something, whether it's a project, a hobby, a sport, you're all in. You often push yourself to extremes. There's no halfway with you. If your career doesn't excite you, then that's a clear sign to move on and find something that does.
Oh my God. I told you to look at the pattern.
Damn. Let's see. Wow. Yeah. I'm scrolling through all of the things. Cause there's like a list of them that you can go through for the day. My patterns have been very career based though recently. Damn. And it says I have a new phase of my career. I will be starting a new phase March 31st. And it's going to go all the way until next January.
You better put that on your motherfucking calendar.
Yeah, I have been feeling that way. Like, just wanting to be happy, but and realizing that me just sailing through, even though on paper, I guess what gets me is like on paper, I'm doing well, even though shit has really hit the fan for me at the same time. But like on paper, I have overcome things that have come my way, and I do put everything into whatever I'm doing, even if I don't like it. So on paper, it looks good, but I'm still like, I don't want this. This is not making my soul happy. And I think I'm just like trying to fill myself on a soul level right now. And like, mean, like the longer I go not doing that, I'm like realizing like, I really need to do that, because that is key to my happiness. That is really the answer. Is just to figure out what fills me on a soul level.
You're trying to rehydrate your soul after years of being fucking
in the desert.
I wish people could see my stupid ass facial expression.
I wish I screenshotted that.
I literally look like Count Dracula.
What does your pattern say today?
Let's see. Okay. So mine says, your most fulfilling relationships where you're truly able to be yourself will likely come later in life. Despite your best efforts, relationships haven't been easy for you, and at times you feel blocked, as if some barrier prevents you from finding a partner or connecting with the person you're with. It could be a literal boundary that inhibits you. You meet someone ideal, but they live in a different city or are involved with someone else. Or when you do genuinely bond with someone, it seems hard to maintain. Something gets in the way, or you continually feel dissatisfied. Let's see, that one's saying the same thing. Blah, 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 blah. The people you are involved with are often introverted and don't seek attention. They're mysterious and subtle, and figuring them out might be intriguing for you. Okay, see, that was true of me when I was, like, much younger. Yeah. I don't really feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
It's likely they're very identified with their career. You're proud of someone who knows what they were born to do. Blah, blah, blah. This is all about dating. I'm not dating, motherfucker. I'm engaged. You seen this?
I'm engaged to be married.
You know, this kind of, like, makes me think of...
You when you were younger?
No, I was going to say today I was, like... I was talking to Steven about like love languages, because mm-hmm. ours are like very different. Like mine is very like, I want to write a whole book for you, and I want to just like put together this big art piece and like tell you how much you mean to me and compare you to fucking sunshine and rainbows and take this little thing, this art piece I made, and know how much I love you know. And yeah. His is very like, I know all of your favorite everythings, and I'm going to surprise you with them all the time. And I heard you complaining about something that's bothering you, so I'm going to go take care of it for you. Like, that's what mm-hmm. his is. And we were talking about it in the car, and I was just like, yes, I know that's what yours is. It doesn't change the fact that this is what mine is. And I want to be able to give you something like that I created and not feel like I'm this little Cancerian crab like offering my heart.
I'll say it afterwards.
But I mean, there's nothing, it was like funny, you know, like,
yeah.
we were laughing yeah. about it, and I'm just like, no, I'm not like mad. Like, I understand that everybody's got a different love language. I'm just yeah. saying this is mine, and
right.
fucking, and like,
so hint, hint, wink, wink.
So you better appreciate it, wink, wink.
Take it.
But like,
I actually struggle with knowing what my love language is, because I almost feel like I almost feel like I'm all of them. And I'm sure we all are to an extent, so I'm always like, which one am I the most? But then what I realized is some of us, sometimes what you like to give is what you like to receive. But also, I think in my case, sometimes you like to give in a certain way, but you like to receive in a different way. So you have this combination of, I like to do this to show you how I love you, but this is how I want people to show me they love me. And it's like different. So like, you know, like you said, like you like to make things, like you are the only person to ever make me mix CDs and put playlists on them for me.
Did I make you mix CDs?
You made me like 3 of them, and I still have them. They're so precious to me. I love them. And you wrote cute little notes on the CDs for me, and just out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't my birthday. It wasn't anything. You just made them for me and just gave them to me. And like
you still I
love that. And I honestly like fell in love with half of that music just because I had such a positive memory attached to them, because you gave it to me. It's almost like you gave me that music, so like I loved it, even if it wasn't something I would have necessarily like found on my own, like, yeah, I love this, but like I ended up loving it. And so like, you know, you like to make things, but like maybe in return you like acts of service, like you like someone cooking you dinner or taking out the trash or seeing that this broke and like you said, like Steven fixing it. And so I think it's interesting that there's like love languages are so complicated, but I think they're really important to recognize and figure out like what you like, and especially when you're in a relationship, what the other person's love languages are. But damn, like I don't know. I've definitely like taken one of those quizzes online. It's like, what's your love language? But I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like bits and pieces of all of these. Like, I don't know. So I honestly don't know what my biggest ones are. I think for me, giving love, I do like to, I also like to make things. But the hard thing is like when I'm going through my mental funk, like I don't have the energy to. And so I almost like, I end up showing my love in different ways. When I don't, like when I'm feeling good, I like to make things. And I fucking love surprises. So I think I like giving, I like to give gifts. I think that's something I like to give. But I also love receiving those little things that like, oh, I heard you complaining that you had a flat tire the other day. And I took your car out and filled up the tire. And I guess that's acts of service, I think. But I don't know. I just feel like there's bits and pieces of everything that I enjoy giving and receiving.
It was so fucking cute just now when you went, I fucking love surprises.
I literally get a high off of surprising people, even though I'm so bad. It really depends because a few years ago, I surprised two of my friends that live in Virginia and I flew out there and I coordinated the whole thing with their parents and they had no idea I was coming. And that just like, I loved surprising them. I love giving surprises, like giving something to somebody that they just weren't expecting and like it making their day. Like I love to do that. And fucking surprises, I absolutely love. And I don't know, maybe... I don't know where that comes from. Honestly, every time I think of surprises, though, I think of when I was a little kid and my mom used to wake us up in the middle of the night and she would pick us up while we were still sleeping and take us to the beach. Yeah. In our pajamas, she had the whole car packed and it would be dark and we did not know where we were going and we would just wake up because we'd fall asleep in the car and we'd wake up at the beach. And that was the best thing in the world. I was like, oh my God, I was sleeping in my bed and now I'm at the fucking beach. And so I think it's like stuff like that where that's probably why I love surprises. Like, cause she did that for me. My mom gave me surprises. And so now I love giving surprises.
That makes a lot of sense, honestly. Cause she'd call you up like a random day and be like, I'm coming to get you and we're going mm-hmm. I totally
we're gonna go do this or yeah she did tons of surprises and they made me so or and she would surprise me at work. She would randomly show up at work when we were at Cracker Barrel, and she did that at my other jobs too, and sit down at the table closest to the hostess podium so she could throw crayons at me and talk to me while I was working. So like she would just surprise me. And when I was a little kid, like in like elementary school, she was a history teacher at the school I went to. And while I was out at recess, she would make origami figures and come and put them on my desk. So I had origami on my desk when I came back from recess. And she would scan, I actually still have one of these. She would scan her hand on a printer and print it out and it had her handprint. And she wrote little love notes on the back and cut it out. And she would put that on my desk while I was at recess. And I have one, it's locked up in a firebox. Because I'm keeping that shit forever.
So fucking cute.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Did you ever calculate her birth chart?
I have, but I don't know. I'm missing information that would make it exact, but I think I have plugged it. Oh, you know what I did? I put her birthday in the pattern and I compared our patterns. I do need to read her birth chart. I don't know what time she was born. And I know she was born in Illinois, but I don't know where in Illinois she was born. I have to ask my grandma. My grandma was there. She'd know.
I was there. I would know.
Yeah, I should ask her what time. I'm asking my grandma. What time was my mom born? No reason at all. Just like, no. What time did you push your baby out of your vagina, please? Thank you.
That reminds me, I will never forget when your mom was saying, do not be mean to my baby. I pushed her out of my vagina.
she freely told that to anybody who was picking on me, or if she just wanted to embarrass me. We would be in the middle of the mall. Don't backtalk me. I pushed you out of my vagina. Honestly, oh yeah, that was, there was a guy who cut me off. We both, this was another, she was like, let's go to Chick-fil-A. And we went to Chick-fil-A and we were in separate cars. Cause like, I was coming back from something and she was like, meet me at Chick-fil-A. And she ended up driving up behind me and she saw this guy in a big ass truck cut me off. And I was a brand new driver at the time. And he pulled into Chick-fil-A and parked and she pulled up right next to him and chewed his ass out. That was my daughter you cut off. And she probably told him that she pushed me out of her vagina too.
I fucking love that. Dude, cancer. That cancer energy.
Oh, that mom energy. Yes, mama bear for sure. Yeah.
Fuck yes. Dude, I just love like developed cancerian mother energy. It's just like chef's kiss.
It's fucking gold, like amazing.
I'm about to cry. The fact that she pulled up next to him
and literally his truck was like a monster truck and it was like honestly this the redneck driving the truck and like at that age I would have been terrified to even look that guy in the eye because I was very quiet and I was like, oh my god, he might like yell at me or something for saying you cut me off. And my mom's like, move over, bitch. Okay. I will fucking cuss you out.
Bitch, move over, bitch. Yes.
Which is so, you're right. It is totally developed cancer energy because I think we go through phases of like being like in our shell and like we're quiet and we're timid. But then like once we're developed, we're like, fucking bitches, don't fucking fuck with my daughter or me or my family. Oh shit, I was just gonna quote Mulan but I forgot it. Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow,
dishonor on you.
I don't know why that came to my mind.
Cow, dishonor on your big ass stupid fucking truck. I wonder if your mom's ascendant was Aries or something, like a fire sign.
I would love to know. It has to be. It literally has to be.
You got to get that information, man.
Okay, Jackie's going to be the first person on the list that I need to hit up after this call.
Yes, I need it. I need to.
Oh, this is important information.
We should do an episode where we get our parents' birth chart information.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. We should. I will vaguely do my dad's because there is nobody I'm reaching out to on that side of the family to get his time of birth. But I know the city he was born in and the date. I just don't know the time. So we'll just do a more vague one for him. But yeah, that would be so much fun.
Yeah. And I'm not doing my mom's. I fuck that shit. I will do my dad's only.
Okay, well then I'll just do my mom's. That's we'll do a one parent sesh.
One parent sesh. Oh shit. Okay, well I guess we should probably wrap this episode up.
Welcome to the new year, everybody. We're going to hell in the handbasket.
Literally, welcome to the new year. I don't know what we expected. This is nothing less than everything I
expected.
Fucking honestly.
I messaged Brooke on New Year's and I was like, don't leave me in 2020 because I'm 2 years behind. 2 years, what the fuck? I'm 2 hours behind her. And
ready
in 2020.
I sent her a little emoji of a car skirting off into the future.
Bye.
Bye, bitch.
And I sent you a video of me chugging a bottle of sangria while I was being left.
Oh yeah.
In 2020.
That was fucking comedic.
So, welcome to the new year, ladies and gents. We are here.
We are
whoopty fucking do.
Whoopty fucking do. I mean, I don't feel any different. I never feel any different, but especially this year, you know how I know I didn't feel any different? I didn't even make a vision board.
Oh.
I make a vision every year.
I started one on my, but I normally make one in like hard copy, like with magazine cutouts and stuff. But this year I made one on my iPad and I didn't even finish it.
I always make a vision board, like a book, and then I use it as my journal for the rest of the year. And I didn't even, yeah. I was like,
my I have no expectations right now.
I don't feel like having high,
any expectations. Any. So that way, if you have no expectations,
can
when shit goes bad, it's not that bad. And when shit goes good, it's great.
Seriously, my only goal this year is to get my physical and mental and emotional health back on track. That's it. That's mm-hmm. all.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tweet.
That's period.
The tweet. But anyways, stay tuned. I'm sure some fun, I don't know why I was just looking up at my ceiling, maybe for the answers to life. Stay tuned for some good shit you're coming your way this year. Thank you guys for, I forgot to tell you.
What?
We hit 2,000 followers on Spotify yesterday. I totally forgot to tell you. 2,000.
Oh my
god. What the fuck?
Oh my fucking god. Thank you. Oh my god. For that real? Is so crazy. Wow.
Thank you so much on Spotify. I mean, all of the other platforms are important too, but Spotify is what I use. So I feel real special.
Yeah. So. Wow. Oh my god. That is there's another positive to start off the new year.
Start
the first podcast.
The new year strong. And in other news, soon we'll have new podcast art and both of us will be on it. But that's all the hint that you guys get for now.
Yep. Stick around.
Cliffhanger. It'll pop up when you least expect it.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't have any more updates, man. You got any fucking updates?
Fuck no. No. Fucking fuck.
fuck this year. I'm glad I have you, though.
Me too. Me too. Oh my god. I don't even want to know what the year would have been like.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yes. It would have literally just like, I may have ended up in a straitjacket. Who knows? For real.
Both of us, honestly. Whatever, bitch. Peace out, 2020. I'm going to still probably talk about you till the day I die.
Yep.
Anyway. All right. Well, we will talk to you guys next week. Don't forget to follow the podcast on Instagram at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.